almost done, so I'm sure you're happy about that. Well, welcome everyone. We're glad that you're here. I invite you to open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And read several verses from this a little bit earlier this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. But we want to focus especially on these several of these verses here. Verses 20 through 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. He said, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." It's clear that God wants every one of us to be involved in serving Him, to be useful for the Master. That's something that God's will would be for each one of us to fulfill that in our lives. And in order for that, he is pointing out that there is a choice that we must make in our life. That in order to be a vessel that is prepared for the Master's use, ready for the Master's use, there are choices that we make in order to make ourselves useful for God. And it's a choice that each one of us needs to look at our life, that we are a servant of God every day of the week. Every single day, we are to be, what he's saying, useful for the Master, ready for every good work. Too many times, Christians today have almost turned Christianity into their faith being like football and a spectator sport one day a week. When God intended for us to be actively serving Him every day of the week in our own capacity and seeking to bring honor to Him. When Paul was writing the letter here, the 2 Timothy letter, which is the last letter, incidentally, of his life, he was in prison in Rome. And things had changed in the Roman Empire so that people were being arrested for their faith. And Paul was not at liberty to go and preach the gospel as he had been. He's writing to Timothy and urging him to be committed and to be not afraid. He need not be ashamed of the gospel. As he writes here, several things that he is urging Timothy to be realizing that this is a time that every Christian is needed. And that Timothy must prepare himself to be useful for the Master, just as each one of us needs to be prepared. And speaking about the fact that hold fast the pattern of sound words. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a strong mind. And many things that he is urging Timothy here along those lines. To be strong, to not waste the opportunities that they're there. We can certainly say the same thing is true today in our world today. That things oftentimes in our day are turning that way. Where there was a time when the gospel was preached and people would come and hear the gospel. And there was an interest, there was a sense of wanting to know and proclaim the gospel. And now we live in a time where those who truly are willing to stand for Christ, there is need for a strong commitment in our lives. Not a casual commitment, but to examine our hearts and to be committed to Christ daily, because everyone is needed to be useful for the Master, to be a person that God can use. It's great to know that God can use each one of us in His service. We might think sometimes that God can only use people who have impressive abilities, impressive talents, or that He can only use people that have been specially trained in the Bible to teach or to preach. He can only use people that have a great knowledge of the Bible. But it's not those things that Paul points out here in this words to Timothy that he gives, because he points out the fact that God uses cleansed people in His service. The person that God is able to use is not necessarily the talented individual or the most prominently known. It's the person that is cleansed, and in two particular ways: people who flee from sin in their lives and who pursue righteousness. But God can use any one of us who's willing to prepare ourselves, and it's great to realize that God can use you and God can use me. God isn't looking for how talented you are or how impressive you are on your own standing of your credentials. God is looking for a cleansed person who is sanctified and set apart for God to use and ready for the Master's use. And that is the type of person that God can use. And it's neat to see how that happens in your life. Sometimes Karen and I will go down to the hospital, for instance, and we will pray with someone in the hospital, and you really feel like God is using you in that way. But it's something that anyone can do. And it may be someone in your work that you come in contact, or it may be even someone in your own family, but if you're the type of person that God is speaking about here, God is able to take the natural gifts and abilities that He has given to each one of us, and He's able to use you for His kingdom. And that is the thing that Paul is wanting to impress upon us, is that we need to be ready and prepared and useful for God in that way, for Him to use you. And God will seek out and open up those opportunities for you if you allow Him to use you. And of course, He will receive the glory in that. And that should be something that is all on our heart, is that we would simply be a servant and further the cause of Christ in our life in this day and time that we are living today. Now, he uses an illustration in order to make this point. He points out the fact that, as he says here in verse 20 through 22, he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." And some have attempted to suggest that the great house here is meaning the church. But I don't know that that is necessarily necessary to take that position, that he may be just using it as an illustration that in a large house, there are many vessels that are there. And I'm sure this is true in our homes as well, that there are many vessels of honor. There are many very nice vessels in your home that are used for special purposes, like serving food. There are vessels that are for ornamentation in your home. Nice vessels that are valuable, that you treasure those, and you take very special care of those. You clean them, and you have a particular use for them. And there are other vessels in your home that are not like that. There are other vessels that are almost of no particular value, But they serve a function, but it is not one of honor, necessarily. That they may be used for cleaning, for taking out the trash. There are many things that come to mind, that there are vessels that are in your home, all of our homes, that are vessels of dishonor, not particularly vessels of honor. You know, there was, and some of you might remember this, in the days of your grandparents, that there was what was known as the spittoon. And that would be one that I would particularly say, maybe a vessel of dishonor. It had a purpose, but it wasn't one of honor necessarily. There was, some people had what was sitting under the kitchen sink, the slop bucket. And if you, like my dad, used to have, to have a compost out in the garden, and everything that was thrown away, instead of putting it through the garbage disposal, put it in the slop bucket and take it out and put it in the compost pile. Well, as you can imagine, that wasn't a particularly clean vessel. And there are vessels like that in our homes. The point that he is making here is that we have a choice. Each one of us has a choice which one of those two types of vessels we want to be in our lives. We might even see ourselves as being in the church, in the Lord's great house, but we still have that choice to make. Do I want to be a vessel of honor? Do I want to be a vessel of dishonor? And it really comes down to your choice. Because everything else, God has provided the opportunity and an invitation of you to come into His house, into Christ. And at this point, each one of us has made that choice. We are in the Lord's house. But do we want to be a vessel of honor or dishonor? So the same application we can make to our lives that Paul is making, which type of vessel do we want to be? And he is pointing out the fact that it is an honor to be used by God. We all should see that as it is an honor for God to use us in His service. And we ought to have, like Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." That when there is an opportunity, when there is something that the Lord is able to use you for, that you are always ready and willing for Him to be used, for you to be used in His service. That is an attitude of willingness on our part. And that shows that we appreciate the Lord and His house and His kingdom, and we want to be serving in it, not just being an idle bystander, but actually performing a useful task that can advance the cause in some way. Now, at the same time, we understand that we are clay in the potter's hand, and that it is the right of the potter to shape the vessel as he sees fit. Paul in Romans chapter 9 talks about that in reference to the people of Israel, and he is quoting out of the book of Jeremiah, who originally talked about this principle of the potter and the clay. But he said there in Romans chapter 9 in verse 21, "Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles?" And that was in the sovereign will of God, that it is the right of God to decide which people He would include among His people. And He had included the Gentiles at this time with Christ, being able to be invited to come alongside of the Jew, and whoever would come into God's kingdom was to be acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And there were those among the Jews that were resisting of that and saying, well, they need to be circumcised in order to come into the kingdom of God. And God is pointing out the fact, now this is the will of God, that He would, as the potter in the clay, He would shape this to be a vessel of honor, if that is His will. And we recognize that is also in our lives, that it is the right of God to fashion us according to His purpose, how He wants to use you and me in your life, what particular gifts and abilities and opportunities He brings our way in our life, and yet it is our responsibility to be ready for the Master's use. And what Paul is pointing out here in 2 Timothy is that we have the responsibility to cleanse ourselves, to make ourselves ready for Him to use us. So as he says here, that is our responsibility. If anyone cleanses himself from these latter things that he was speaking about there in the preceding verses there, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. He referred to the fact that there were some, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who erred, saying the resurrection was already past. There were some false teachings then coming into the church at this time, and Timothy and others had to be able to differentiate and be able to have the ability to distinguish the truth from error, that if they were going to be teaching, they had to be able to be set aside false teaching and teach only what was furthering of the Lord's will. But there are many things that he is bringing forth that he is showing here, that in order to be the vessel of the Lord, to be a vessel of honor, we must cleanse ourselves. And he says in verse 19 and 20, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are His. The firm foundation of God stands secure, that the Lord knows those who are His, and those who name the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. We must be godly people. We must prepare ourselves in that way. So cleansed people are sanctified, set apart unto God by our obedience to the gospel, number one. And secondly, by our growing in the faith and taking on growing in sanctification of our life as holiness, as we find is taught. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, he talked about the fact that, do you not know that some of you, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, and do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We understand that when you become a Christian and God forgives us of our sins, we become a sanctified vessel of God. We become set apart from sin in our life. But then it is our responsibility to continue to grow. And we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, that we are to be sanctified and holy. He says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When he's writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he talks about sanctification there. He said, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in passion and lust, as do the Gentiles. We have the responsibility then to cleanse ourselves from sin, to cleanse ourselves from iniquity in our lives, and to prepare ourselves to serve God, to be a vessel of honor for the Lord, useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. In other words, willing to serve at His disposal for that purpose. And so he goes on to say here, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Cleansed people then are sanctified, set apart unto God, set apart from sin, and seeking to remain pure in our lives by pursuing godly living. But then we become a vessel that God can use. That is what he is saying. Cleansed, useful to the Master. The Lord cannot use a dirty vessel, in other words. The Lord is not going to use that type of vessel for anything of use in His kingdom, of significance. That is not to say that God cannot use even an ungodly person to accomplish His will, if He chooses. We know that the Lord chose Pharaoh in the Old Testament for certain purposes, that to free His people and bring them out of Egypt, the Pharaoh actually was serving the will of God. And there's many other examples like that where God can use an ungodly person. But he's talking about now in the kingdom itself, that if we want to be a servant of God who is useful to the Master, we have to cleanse ourselves and remain pure. Now, we might have the talent, we might have the knowledge of the Bible, but that's not to say that we're going to accomplish much for the Lord if we're not a clean vessel. There's been a lot of harm done by ungodly people standing in the pulpit, and men who had no business being there in the first place. But it might be that a person is of a humble ability that would never be able to stand and preach. But if they are clean before God and they have sanctified their life and they are willing for God to serve them, for them to serve, then God can use that person for great things. To change the hearts of people, to bring people to Christ, and to make a huge impact. So he says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That is our responsibility then, cleansing ourselves, preparing ourselves that God can use us. Obviously, if a young man, for example, desires to become an elder in the church, or a leader, or a deacon, or a preacher, that there is certain qualification and preparation that they need to be doing in the way of studying God's Word and committing their life and preparing them or their heart at an early age, that later on down the line, they're going to be able to have the kind of qualifications that God is seeking, and then they might be able to be selected to be an elder, which is very needed in the church. But a person doesn't just automatically overnight say, oh, I think I would like to become an elder, maybe. And they have not made any preparation along that. Flee youthful lust, he is saying. Now, we tend to think of this many times as referring to sexual temptations. The fact of that is, that's not limited to youthful. I don't think that's what he's talking about. Youthful lusts, sexual temptations, those apply to everyone. I mean, they don't call them dirty old men for nothing. So, what are the youthful lusts that he is referring to here? Well, some of the writers suggest some of the following thoughts. Gordon Fee is a commentator of New Testament commentary. He said that he believed that Paul is speaking about headstrong passions of youth who sometimes love novelties, foolish discussions, and arguments that all too often lead to quarrels. William Barclay, he suggested that he believed it could be referring to the faults of impatience, self-assertion, the love of arguing, the love of novelty that stem from youthful idealism. So he may not necessarily be talking here specifically about sexual temptation when he's saying, flee youthful lusts. This headstrong, this, you know, getting angry and thinking that we know it all and jumping in and causing a problem when an older, wiser person would not go about it that way. He's writing to Timothy as an evangelist. He's trying to help him to see. Timothy's a young man. There's things that he needs to understand. There's things he needs to grow. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He's telling Timothy that while it is important to defend the faith against error and to stand firm, there's a right and a wrong way to go about it. And he later has some things to say here in verses 22, 24 and 25 about to be gentle and to be kind and to be long-suffering and things of that nature here as far as how to do the work of an evangelist. But there are certain things that we do need to flee and then pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So first of all, we do flee from sin. We do flee from youthful impatience and hot-headedness and impulsiveness and things of that nature. The desire to impress other people. We need maturity as we grow. But then cleansed people pursue godliness, righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. Cleansed people pursue righteousness. They live their lives by studying God's Word, by trying to make a personal application of their life, desiring to live a righteous, godly life, to grow in the faith, and to be faithful to God. Faithful to God, being willing that if you're given a responsibility, you keep that responsibility, you take it seriously. We have a responsibility as a Christian to be present for services, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. Those are responsibilities that we take seriously. We're faithful. We try to fulfill those obligations in our own life without having to be told that we're a Christian now. We want to be faithful as a Christian. And we pursue love. In other words, we love other people. The kind of love that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that means like we go into the grocery store, we love people. We're interested in people. We try to greet people in a kind way and an interest in them. And think about other people in your life and care about people. Cleansed people pursue peace with all who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We need to all be people that we are pursuing peace. learning to get along with people, learning to work with people, and to be associating with other people who call on the Lord out of pure heart. That would be here in the local congregation is a great place to apply that. We want to be a part of people who have a pure heart wanting to serve God. And the people that you associate with, keep in mind, that's the kind of people you're going to end up being like. If you spend all of your time going down and associating with people at the casino or the racetrack or at the golf course or wherever it might be, and that's the association of people that you choose to hang out with, you're going to be a lot like those people. But if you enjoy the company of fellow Christians and you enjoy spiritual purposes that bring us in common together, and that's what's on your heart, you're going to continue to grow in that vein in your life, becoming more and more like Christ. He's pointing out here that we have the responsibility to do the housekeeping of our own house and prepare our life to serve God. And then God can use you in His service. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. God can take care of that. You prepare yourself. You be a godly person. You be committed to growing in Christ likeness in your life. Spending time in God's Word. Coming to worship, praying with other Christians. Be committed. Be serious about your life as a Christian. You choose by that to be a vessel of honor for God. You make yourself useful because you have the attitude like Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Is there something that needs to be done? Is there some Bible class that maybe I can help teach? Or is there something that I can do to be of service? Then you make yourself useful and the Lord can use you. You pursue righteousness and faith and love and those things as the Lord shows for us to do with others who call on the Lord with a pure heart, and you pursue peace in your relationships with people. You try to build a good reputation in your life in the community and where you work, that people look to you and they see a person there that is a Christ-like individual. And you be zealous in the Word in your life. Study God's Word. Try to grow so that if the opportunity comes for you to teach, you are able to teach what God's Word teaches. And you're able to respond and know the difference between truth and error. Those are steps that we take to prepare ourselves to be useful for the Master. And there's no limit to what God can do in your life when you make yourself available and you prepare yourself. Now, we can make the choice of that, or we can say, well, I just want to be in the church. I just want to be there. And if I'm there, if I'm not there, nobody's really going to notice the difference. You know, there's sometimes, unfortunately, that attitude. I just want to come in and sit in the back somewhere, and that way, if I'm there, if I'm not there, no one's going to really notice the difference. God gives us each opportunity. We can be a vessel of honor or we can be a vessel of dishonor. What is the choice that you are making in your life? That's the question for each of us. We're going to stand and sing the invitation this morning. If you're here in subject in any way to Jesus, who's inviting us to come to Him for salvation, to repent and be baptized, to confess His name, we invite you, extend to you that invitation this morning while we stand and while we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus fallen tenderly upon you.